Hallelujah. Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spake to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, he said to them, all authority. You know, like the last section, we said something like, when it says, in heaven and on earth, it implies, we said, first of all, it shows us a Moses narrative of what the tabernacle, right? Right? Showing that the heaven and the earth in one place, that is the man in Christ, hallelujah, refers to the man in Christ, hallelujah. So the authority of Christ is in the believer. Listen, the authority of Christ is in the believer, and it is expressed in discipleship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is expressed in discipleship. So, you see, when Jesus was on the earth in his incarnation, we see him disciple men. Do you understand me? We saw him disciple men. We saw the fact that the disciples discipled men. And we're giving instruction to disciple men. That shows you something. Tells us that God's plan for man is discipleship. And this will be done in the local church, in the local assembly. God's heart, God's plan for man is discipleship. Disciples raised. So, he said in the local church, you are found being discipled, or you are discipling men. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. And we also saw that discipleship is carried out via teaching. And in teaching, we have instruction. We have instructions, we are corrected. And also, via teaching, spiritual growth is evident. Very important. Proper explanation. Let's look at Ephesians 4 quickly. Ephesians 4. We're going to read verses 14 to 15. Something we'll still come back and read in it, but I just want to start from 14 to 15. He said, remember we said it's of spiritual growth, right? Okay, let me do something. Verses 11. And himself gave some to the apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, teachers, for the equipping of the saints, charismos, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. It will not come to the unity of faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer, verse 13, be children, first throw and carried away by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things. What is the all things? Verse 12, the work of the ministry. Did you see that? Edifying of the body of Christ. Did you see that? May grow up in all things, all these things. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Into him who is the head, Christ. Of whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, that is the work of ministry, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth in the body for the edifying of itself in love.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen. So we look at that critically. Our major focus now is on 14 and 15. So the teaching of the word is to bring forth what? Growth. Spiritual growth. Do you understand me? Spiritual growth. And spiritual growth will be seen in our work of ministry. Do you understand me? It will be seen in how we disciple men in our work of ministry. Let's see Paul again to Timothy, 2 Timothy 3. 16, 15 to 16. And from childhood, you have known the Holy Scriptures. Okay, let us jump to 16. He said, all scripture are given by the inspiration of God and are profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Right? Now, Paul, listen to this. Paul, in verse 15, commended Timothy's cleverness in Bible interpretation, right? He commended that. He said, you have known the Holy Spirit which are able to make thee wise, sophizo, clever, sophizo, unto salvation, true faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul recognized Timothy's cleverness in Bible interpretation. Okay, so how did he learn it? Look at verse 10 of that 2 Timothy chapter 3. How did he learn it? Are you there? 2 Timothy 3:10. He says, but to have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long suffering, love, perseverance. You have followed my doctrine, my didaskalia, my teaching, my explanation. Meaning, Timothy's cleverness was seen in the way he understood Paul's explanation of the scriptures. Do you understand that? So, another question now comes to mind would be, who is Timothy to Paul? Do you understand? Who is Timothy to Paul? What is the relationship? I know something, I say you can hardly teach discipleship outside Timothy, Paul, Paul and Titus. They demonstrated what true discipleship is. Timothy and Titus, they are examples of what true discipleship is. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We could have counted Barnabas too, but somehow, he didn't make it into the picture because of strife. You understand? So, for there to be strife, that means you cannot have Barnabas as a disciple. You understand that? You can have him. Glory to God. You understand that? Glory to God. Look at who is Timothy to Paul. 1 Timothy 1, verse 2. It says, to Timothy, a true son in faith. You see that? A true son in faith. Chapter 1, verse 18. This charge I commit to you, son Timothy. Paul calls him son Timothy. Chapter 2, verse 2. 2 Timothy 1, 2. He said to Timothy, a beloved son. So, who is Paul to Timothy? Or who is Timothy to Paul? Timothy is who you will call today Paul's disciple. Jonathan is who you will call Paul's disciple. Look at Acts 16, from verse 1 to 3. Acts 16, 2 to 3. Let's look at how Paul and Timothy left. Acts 16. Then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy. Jennifer, Timothy was there. Verse 2, he was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted to have him go with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region, for they all knew his father was Greek. Did you get that? Hallelujah. So, automatically, we saw that Timothy was not, was not won or was not saved by Paul directly. But we see Paul call him son, disciple, because he is one or he's part of those whom Paul teaches, and he is submissive to him, to Paul. Do you understand me? He is a disciple of Paul because Paul was his teacher. We'll see that shortly. Paul taught him. He submitted to that. Hallelujah. 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 Let's look at 2 Timothy 1, verse 13. 2 Timothy 1, 13. Quickly. 2 Timothy 1, 13. It says, hold fast the pattern of sound words, which you have heard from me, in faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. Paul will give Timothy this instruction. Say, hold fast the pattern of sound words. The word sound words is the word that implies wholesome words. Wholesome words. And Paul will refer to wholesome words as, Paul will call that word sound words or wholesome words the right explanation from the scriptures. Paul will call it right explanations from the scriptures. Paul will call that word wholesome words. He told him to hold forth wholesome words. Now, or sound words, sound words. Now, Paul will call that word explanation, teaching. Do you understand? That's what he will call teaching. Look at 1 Timothy 1, verse 10. Let's look at that. 1 Timothy 1, 10. It says to him, let's look at from verse 8 so that you understand the truth. But we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for the righteous person, but for the lawless and insubordinate, for the ungodly and for sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers. We talked about law, we'll discuss this in topic on the concept of righteousness. Is referring to the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. Now let's go ahead. Verse 10, it says, for fornicators, for sodomites, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers, and if they are, or if there is any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. Do you understand? Sound doctrine. If there's any other thing contrary to sound explanation. Do you understand? Because before now, he had told them in verses 3 that I urge when I went to Macedonia, remain in Ephesus, that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine. So the other doctrine that they were teaching is what? Law. Do you understand? They began to teach law and things like that. Do you understand? So he said those things are what? Outside, or they are contrary to sound teaching. Do you understand me? So Paul will call sound doctrine sound word, sound teaching. Do you understand? You find him use the same thing again in chapter 6, verse 3. Also, he said, if anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, that is the word sound words, even to the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according, or which accords with godliness. He said, does not consent to what? Wholesome words, wholesome teaching, sound teaching, sound explanation. Glory to God. Verse 4 now says, he said, that person is proud. Hallelujah. So if the person cannot stay with correction, cannot stay with reproof, that person is proud, say, knowing nothing. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. You understand that? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead. Remember, okay, let's look at Titus 1:9. This is the same word sound, yeah? Titus 1:9. Titus 1:9. On top of verse 7, say, for a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be, that he may be able by sound teaching. Is that sound doctrine? Both to exalt and convict those who contradict. Glory to God. In verse 13, it uses the same word in chapter 2, verse 1. It says, but you speak the things which are according to sound, proper doctrine. Which are proper for sound doctrine, right? Hallelujah. Sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. So Timothy will learn discipleship via the teaching of Paul. That's what we just saw, right? Timothy will learn discipleship via the teaching of Paul. In 2 Timothy 2:2, which we just read not too long, I'll read it again. Let's go to 2 Timothy 2:2. Let's open our scripture. Jesus. 2 Timothy 2:2. It says, and the things which you have heard from me among many witnesses, say, commit those to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Did you see that? So, the things which you've learned from me, that is to say, Timothy is taught true teaching. Do you understand me? Timothy is taught true teaching, or is discipled true teaching. Rather, not taught true teaching. It's discipled true teaching. Chapter 3, verse 10, what we read before now, he says, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You have carefully followed. So a true disciple must be found doing what? Must be seen following the teachings of his teacher, or of his didaskalos. Right? Yeah, didaskalos. Must be seen following the teaching of his teacher, the explanation of his teacher. This teaching must be the explanation of the teacher. We're going to look at something shortly in that 2 Timothy 2:2 again. But this teaching must be the explanation of the teacher. He said, the things you've learned from me, he said, the same commit paratitemi, the same put forward. Meaning that teaching is, these are the teaching you learned from others, say, from me. Do you understand? From me. Meaning this teaching is the teaching of his teacher. Do you understand that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, we'll move a bit further. Look at verse 14 of that chapter 3. Verse 14 said, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and be assured of knowing from whom you've learned them from. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, he's not just one who hears part and goes. No, he is one who stays. He's not one who, I am a disciple of this person for 1 month and you don't see the person again. No. Is one who states, and this was a true disciple, is seen in consistency over time, following the teaching of the one who teaches him. A true disciple is seen in consistency over time. Overtime might be 1 year, 4 years, 5 years. Paul thought for 3 years. Do you understand me? 3 years. So a true disciple is not seen after 6 months. No. Over time, following strictly the teachings of your teacher. You are following it strictly. Do you understand me? You are following it strictly. You are not mixing. Do you understand me? You are not found mixing. You are following it. Hallelujah. You are found following. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, I also know something. Not to follow the teaching of the one who's teaching you. To mix it with another teaching is called rebellion. We'll see that also shortly. Do you understand me? Not to follow teaching is called rebellion. We have examples in the book of Timothy. Hallelujah. It's called rebellion. It says some have strayed from the truth. They began to teach on other things. They've strayed. To look out of the mark. To look out of the point. They've strayed away. They did not continue. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It made mention of Alexandra. Straight. Do you understand? They began to teach another thing. Do you understand that? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So in following or in being discipled, you must also follow instructions. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You must follow instructions. You must keep up with instructions. You must keep up with instructions. You see, these instructions will even go as far as who you even relate to. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy 4. Look at verse 14 into 15. Okay. Instructions like, look at chapter 4, verse 14. Alexandra, the coppersmith, did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. Did you see that? He tells him who to even listen to. Tells him the kind of relationship he should keep. Because whosoever has betrayed Paul will betray you. You understand me? Whosoever has betrayed your teacher will betray. So you, even to the point of your relationship. You understand that? Hallelujah. Who you relate to, who becomes your friend. These are instructions that Timothy is to keep. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He told him to avoid him. He will now mention in chapter 2, verse 16 also, someone else. He said, make mention of chapter 2, verse 17. He said, but Sean profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. For their message will spread like canker, Hymenaeus and Philetus, are of this sort. He said, who have strayed concerning the truth. Let us have it. They have strayed concerning the truth. Meaning they have wandered away in their teaching, in their explanation concerning the truth. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Now they say, now to the point that they are saying that there is no resurrection. Do you understand that? Hallelujah. So Paul marks out these people for Timothy. Do you understand me? Be careful of these ones. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to look at that shortly. Meaning, we'll look at 1 Timothy 6, verse 5 shortly. Meaning, in discipleship, you must submit your relationships to your didaskalos. Your relationships. Who you go out with. Because, you know, this becomes very important in discipleship. It becomes very important in discipleship, as 75% of what you do or how you will turn out is determined by your company. Do you understand me? The people you are in company with, how you will turn out, 75% of how you will turn out, or of what you do, or how you will come out, or how you will turn out, is tied to your company, those you relate with. So it's as important as that, that the church, or that you submit your relationships. It's as important as that, that your teacher will have to tell you who to relate with. Very important, your relationship, your company. You know, in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 33, Paul will write to the church at Corinth. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 33. We'll tell them evil communication. Verse 33. Say evil communication corrupts good habits. Corrupt good habits. Evil communication would have to do with your company. Also, much more with the kind of teachings and message you listen to.
Do you understand?
Do you understand that? So it's very important.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. We have that too. 2 Corinthians 6, 14. Paul writes to the church at Corinth. Verse 14. He tells them, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Do not be unequally yoked. For what fellowship? Are you there? What fellowship, what communion has righteousness with lawlessness? What communion has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has the believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'll read something to you shortly. Just give me a minute. Chapter 5 of 1 Corinthians. Now I'll get it to you. Chapter 5 of 1 Corinthians, verse 11. Now, see, what we just read now in 2 Corinthians, I say, what comes as light and dark? That is unbelievers. Do you understand me? But now let's see. Paul, even among believers, tells us who we should relate with. Do you understand me? It's as important as that. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at what he says in verse 11. He says, but now I've written to you not to keep company with any with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral or covetous or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or an extortioner. Not even to eat with that person. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's take a hold of those words. He said, you need the word sexual immoral, covetous. Now, very important. Very important. The word you will not call covetous will be one who has a great taste for money. Do you understand me? Do you understand that? Who we have money mongers among believers, covetous. Some of them you find it within the context of their teaching. Godliness is gain. Then he called him covetous. Remember, he said concerning the bishop must not be covetous. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? So as a leader in the church, you should not be covetous. Do you understand that? Because if you begin to have such people as companies, as friends, you will begin to discover the fact that you to begin to tilt towards that direction, because your friends or who you have as company will determine mostly how you come out, how you turn out. Do you understand me? So Paul writes that you shouldn't have company with this. Idolaters. Those who reverence other things above the knowledge of God. And they are believers. Do you understand? Believers. You know, I need to be very intellectual. You think you... I'm not saying there's anything wrong with being intellectual.
Hallelujah.
I'm just telling you, when you begin to reverence other things above God, above the knowledge of Christ,
hallelujah,
most of them begin to tilt towards all those directions.
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Like I would tell people, if me can be lured away by a wrong company, there's no good. There's even Gio, Daddy Gio, Mommy Gio, Daddy, Daddy Gio, grandfather of Daddy Gio, you will still be lured away with your own company.
Do you understand that?
I know I'm saying so. So you watch it. It's an instruction from the scriptures. You watch your companies.
Hallelujah. Do you understand that? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's go back to Timothy. So we actually have instructions on who to even listen to. Paul has to tell Timothy who to listen to.
Glory to God.
Look at 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy 6. Verse 5. I'll start from verse 3. If anyone teaches otherwise, and does not consent to wholesome words, even to the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the reduction which accords with righteousness, he is found knowing nothing, but obsessed with dispute, an argument over words, from which comes strife, envy, strife, revealing, evil, suspicious, useless wranglings of men of corrupt mind, and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. Say, from such, withdraw yourself. That word, withdraw yourself, or from such, depart, from such, withdraw yourself, is the word aphistemi. To depart, aphistemi, to take a stand out of. To be in direct opposite with that person.
Hallelujah.
You will not be found among that person that preaches that gospel.
Hallelujah.
I said there are people that, I've said it last 2 weeks, there are people that I love to listen to. I love to listen to them.
Hallelujah.
I talked to us one time, I said, see, let me tell you something. You can have people who share the same words with you as regards the gospel. Like, for example, the gospel is grace. Grace of God. You understand me? Oh, merited favor. You don't need to walk. You know, they teach salvation that way. And the next time, you now hear them again teaching, you now hear words like, you cannot receive. Somebody that has taught you grace, the things of God are not bought with money. The grace of God comes free. Receive salvation. He's teaching salvation quite a lot. Maybe you hold the same view of salvation. But the next time you are not listening to that person, say, you know, there are some things that are in the realms of the spirit. But there are some things you need to do. No? Let me give an example. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavens. Listen, just listen. Those blessings are in the heavens. They are in the heavens. You need to know how to make those blessings come to the earth. You need to sow. You connect for those blessings to be material. No. This is the same person that holds the same teaching with you, or you've heard teach salvation in the way it should be taught. But now he's getting to another thing and he's mixing it. Do you understand me? You need to connect. You understand me? Your seed brings you closer to God. You know, this is the same thing that has taught you that the Spirit of God lives in you. That is not telling you your seed brings you closer to God. Brings you closer to God. What kind of teaching is that? He is already adulterating the gospel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 7. Is it 7 or 17 rather? He said, we are not of them that adulterate the gospel. We are not of them that adulterate the gospel. Hallelujah. That retain the gospel. Glory to God. So Paul says, from such people, don't. Even if they teach salvation, do you understand? You turn away. Why? Because evil communication corrupts good manners. Do you understand? Evil communications.
I said there are some people I love to listen to. In fact, at some certain point in ministry, I've spoken like them. I've listened to them more than any other person, more than even the person's disciples.
Do you understand me?
Yes. Hallelujah. Even more than his disciples under him. Because I listen to him every day since year 2003. But the moment I began to study and see from the scriptures that saw some people you thrown away, no matter how I love them, I will just have to stop listening to them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because little by little you begin to teach like them. Little by little you begin to act like them. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? So even though who will listen to is important. Hallelujah. So your teacher will direct you in the teaching of you will know who to listen to. Hallelujah. So you submit your relationship to him. It's instruction. You have instruction on who not to relate with for the time being. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Very important. Glory to God. That word that feasts them, you find it in 1 Timothy 4 verse 1, 2 Timothy 2, 19, Hebrews 3, 12, 2 Corinthians 12, 38. Take a stand on you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Hebrews 13 verse 17, quickly. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Are you there? Tells us something very important. He says, obey those who rule over you. Remember, those who rule over you are your teachers. Paul will call them in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. We'll call them who? We'll call them elders. Hallelujah. That those who rule over you, who teach you the word. And we said last week during our teaching meeting that is who? The leaders in the local church, right? And he said, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch over your souls as those who must give account. Hallelujah. As those who must give account, let them do it so with joy and not with grief. For that would be unprofitable for you. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Very important. Very important. So you are instructed to be submissive to your teachers. See, the Bible says they watch over your soul. I'm going to dwell little on this. I'll just say it. I'll give you scriptures. But maybe when we're looking at series 2, that will be, I was talking to Pastor Wisdom. That will be maybe in the next 2 years. We'll look at it much more. He said, you also follow their faith. This, your teachers, you follow their faith. You follow their lifestyle. You find that in 2 Timothy 3:10, Hebrews 13, verse 7. You follow their lifestyle. Or look at it much more. Maybe we're looking at the second series of this. Maybe sometime. So, to be a good disciple of Christ is to follow the teaching of your teacher. Paul will say, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Do you understand me? Imitate, follow me. Do you understand me? So, in following him, we will not look at 2 Timothy 3:10. He say, that following him will mean follow my doctrine, follow my manner of life. Do you understand? Follow my perseverance, follow my love. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? So, the follow me will not mean follow my teachings. Glory to God. So, to be a good disciple of Christ, Paul will also say, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Be imitators of Christ. Do you understand that? So, the good disciple of Christ is to follow the teaching of your teacher and his instructions from the word. Take note, the instructions and the teaching must come from the word. Hallelujah. Take note of that. Must come from the word. Proper explanation to the word. Or of the word, right? Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Very important. And the writer of Hebrews in this chapter 13 will say the right teaching or the mode of teaching of the scripture is with what? Grace in the heart of man. Hallelujah. Grace. The teaching of the scripture is grace. It's graciousness. The teaching of
Christ is the teaching of God's graciousness to man. Glory to God. So, to follow instruction, to follow teachings, to follow, to be a good disciple, to follow teachings. Jesus to his disciples, Luke 24. Luke 24. Jesus taught them. Let's see, Jesus to his disciples. Luke 24, verse 25. Luke 24:25. He says, and he said to them, O fool and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophet has spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded their menu. Hallelujah. He explained through the scripture to them, in all the scripture the things concerning himself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He explained to them through the scripture the things concerning himself. Verses 44. And he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses, in the prophet, and in the Psalms concerning me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he taught them truth. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What's happening there? Glory to God. We find Jesus teach. Mark 16:15. Glory to God. And he said to them, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, he is done teaching them. Listen. Look at that Luke 24 again, sorry. Luke 24, let's look at verse 48. Sorry. He taught them and then he gave them an instruction. Paul, look at that mark. Look at verse 48. When was God teaching them? Verse 42, but then he gave them an instruction. Say, are you a witness of this? He said, behold, I'm sorry, verse 47. He said, and repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all the nations beginning at Jerusalem. Tell us, and he gave them an instruction. In that mark, he now gave them, or Mark will be similar to what he said to them. Hallelujah. To preach the gospel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it tells them in Mark, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It tells them to preach. He had taught them, listen, he had taught them, and he sends them to preach. In Acts of Apostles chapter 2, you see Peter preach. We look at this in our series, this gospel. You look at Peter preach, understanding this gospel. Look at Peter preach, and it will look as if in Acts of Apostles chapter 2 and Luke chapter 24, verse 47, if you put them together, you look as if you see that Peter spoke the same words that Christ said to them, and gave to them as an instruction. You understand? So Peter is found teaching the gospel the way Christ taught them. You understand? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's look at that quickly. Let me just show you that. Look at Acts of Apostles chapter 2. Remember, we read Luke 24. If you put Luke 24 and Acts of Apostles chapter 2 together, you see that. Acts 2, are you there? Look at verse 38. And look at Luke 24. And Peter said to them, repent, and every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you may receive the gift of the Spirit. Look at that, and look at Luke 24. You look as if you almost said the same thing Jesus said, but he said it the same. Hallelujah. Because the Acts teaching was still summarized. Same way was the Luke. Look at what he said. He said, and repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. And look at this. Then Peter said to them, repent and every one of you be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of sin, that you may receive the gift of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Did you get that? Hallelujah.
So you find Peter teaching the way Jesus taught them. In Acts 2, look at that Acts 2, look at verse 42. Those 3,000 that became saved, hallelujah, the 3,000 that got saved, that received salvation, verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That word doctrine there is the word didache. In the apostles' explanation, in the apostles' mode of explanation. Hallelujah. Did you see that? They will now continue. So the ones that became saved will now continue in the apostles' mode of teaching. Did you understand that? Did you get that? And what will be the apostles' mode of teaching? Luke 24, verse 25. Oh, fools, still about to believe on the prophet that said, say, offer the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory. And begin at Moses and all the prophets, they expounded unto them the things concerning himself. So meaning the mode of teaching of the scripture will be concerning Christ. John 5:39. He said, you search the scripture, for in them you think you have eternal life. But these are they that testify of me, but you will not come to me. Verse 45, he says, he said, Moses is the one who accuses you. Do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. He said, for Moses in whom you trust has accused you. Verse 46, now say, for if you had believed in Moses, you would have believed in me, for he wrote of me. Did you see that? So the explanation of the scriptures will be Christ. So the Bible now says these ones who just received salvation, the Bible says they continued in the apostles' teaching, in the apostles' explanation, meaning that became their own mode of teaching. Do you understand that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is how discipleship goes. Hallelujah. So the disciples in Acts 2 taught how the apostles taught, which will be the same way Jesus taught. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now look at something. Are you following me? Let's look at something again. In Ephesians 4:12. Let's go to Ephesians 4:12. Ephesians 4:12. Ephesians 4:12. With some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. 12. Is it for the perfecting of the saints, equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So meaning, listen, the teaching of the word, why do we teach? Or how should I put it? The teaching of the word, the teaching of the word is to equip the saints for the work of ministry, or to equip us for the work of the ministry. To equip us for the work of ministry. Very important. To equip us for the work of ministry. Hallelujah. Just look at how Paul will put it into Timothy chapter in 2 Timothy 3:17. We'll come back to Ephesians again. 2 Timothy 3:17. You know, when he writes to, when Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, writes to the local assembly, right? To everybody in Christ. Now, when he writes to Timothy, he writes as to a pastor. Do you understand me? He writes as to a pastor and to his disciple direct. Do you understand that? You need to understand that. So, as to a pastor. So that's why he's a pastor here. Text. Do you understand that? Okay. Look at Timothy is a pastor's pastor. You look at that. A pastor's pastor, yet he's still a disciple. Did you get that? We'll see that also shortly. I also still open to 2 Timothy, right? Chapter 3. I'll read from verse 15. I'll read from verse 15 to 17. He said, and from childhood, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture given by the inspiration of God and are profitable for doctrine, reproof, I mean for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, the word man of God is the word which he will call Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, that word man of God will not be the one or the recipient of the teaching. Do you understand me? Much in this case is writing to Timothy. Do you understand that? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Did you get that? So, the recipient of the teaching will be the man of God. Now, he now said that the man of God may be what? Perfect, according to what King James, or complete, thoroughly furnished. Now, the word perfect is the word atios. It implies to be furnished, equipped. Do you understand? Equipped, furnished. Atios, A-R-T-I-O-S. A-R-T-I-O-S. He now uses another word, which is not too far from what he has said before. Hallelujah. Just like an explanation. And I say, thoroughly furnished is the word exartizo. Hallelujah. Exartizo. It means to be completely equipped. To be completely equipped. Completely furnished. Completely equipped. So the man of God is equipped, in answer, for good works. So the man of God is equipped for good works. Right? Now, what is that good works? What is the good works? Will now be the next question. What is the good works? Remember, the man of God is the disciple now. Right? Right? We just said that the one who receives the teaching, right? Who will be a disciple? Right? Who will be the disciple? Glory to God. So, the disciple will be furnished for good work. So, what is the good work? Well, I'll be the next person. What is the good work? Ephesians 4:12. Say, for the perfecting of the saint, equipping of the saint, what? Catechismus. Hallelujah. Catechismus. Equipping of the saint for the work of the ministry. So, the good work will be the work of the ministry. Hallelujah. Did you get that? The good work is what the work of the ministry. Verse 16 of Ephesians 4. Let's say that again. Are you following me? Are you following me? Okay. Ephesians 4, verse 16. Are you there? Verse 16 said, and from the whole body, joined and knit together, by which every joint supplies, according to the effective working, by which every part does its share, causes growth in the body for edifying of itself in love. Similar to what he said in verse 12. Hallelujah, that is the work of the ministry. Glory to God. So the good work is seen in ministry. And ministry, you cannot have ministry outside men. Anything, any ministry done outside men is not ministry. It's jamboree. It's not ministry. You cannot say I'm doing ministry outside men. Cannot, do you understand? You cannot say you are doing ministry and you're not discipling men. You cannot say you are involved in the work of ministry and you are not involved in the lives of men. You cannot say you are involved in the work of ministry and you are not seeing winning souls. You cannot say you are a pastor and you are pastoring your chair. What kind of pastor are you? Say, I'm a pastor. The Lord told me in a vision in the year 1992 I will be a pastor of his people. Till date. You are not pastor the soul. You are a pastor. And you understand me? Did you get me? I'm a leader in church. I'm a leader. And you are not responsible for any soul. You're a ladder, not a leader. You're not leading anything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're getting serious here. Glory to God. So ministry is in men. Ministry is, okay, let me now go a bit further. Ministry is not just in men. Ministry is in discipling men. Let's go a bit further. It's in discipling men. Because you're not discipling men, you're only doing entertainment. You are doing stand-up comedy. That's what you are doing. Everybody comes just here. And most people that you find not discipling men are people who do not teach the word. Hallelujah. They're not discipling men. You are now cinema. And you will know this set of people. You will not see them teach. But the whole service can be full of testimony. They're not discipling men. They only having attendees. They are coming to hear. So God did it. Hallelujah. Another way you will know you're not discipling men. Listen. When the people that come, the moment you stop, tomorrow you see them somewhere else. You're not discipling men. They are signposts. You understand me? So effective, listen, those who are involved in ministry are those who are discipling men. If you are not discipling men, bro, sis, you are a comedian. Bro, sorry, oh. Maybe, hallelujah, hallelujah. You must be found disciple. The disciples, the apostles now, okay, the apostles, they had people, they discipled. Hallelujah. Yes, all of them. All of them. All of them. Paul. John. All of them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So it's very important. It's very, very important. So ministry outside men is not ministry. It's monastery. It's not a joke. It's serious. It's monastery. You know what's monastery? Where people gather themselves and go to mountain to pray after everybody scatter back. It's monastery you are doing. You are attend to Israel. That's what you are doing. You're not teaching the word. Say no, you are wasting your time. Are you hearing me? You are no longer, listen, you have now become a signpost. Not a signpost, you are a solution center. You are not Guru Maharaj. That's what you are. See, you are laughing over it, but it's serious. It's as serious as that. It's as serious as that. You are a leader in me. From next week, you are not discipling men from this week. Enter road. Enter road. Go and be winning souls. Disciple men. Nobody should tell you. Count yourselves in him. Count. Look at ministry. Count at least 5 people you've trained to start training others. If you don't have, you are not doing the work of ministry. Do you understand me? You're not doing the work of ministry. You must be involved in lives. It's as important as that. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, did you now see? We are under disciples, or we are under discipleship to disciplement. That's what I'm letting you know. You're under discipleship to disciplement. Let's look at Timothy again. Timothy is our focus point this year. Maybe next year, like Barnabas. Hallelujah. But Timothy is our focus point this year. Maybe next time, like someone, maybe Philemon. Not Pastor Philemon, Philemon. Right? Have several examples. Maybe Titus. Look at them. But looking at Timothy. Let's look at Timothy again, I said. First of all, before we look at that, Timothy has, we've established the fact that Timothy is Paul's disciple, right? We've seen it that Timothy is Paul's disciple, right? Now let's now look at 1 Timothy 1 verse 3. The first instruction he gives to Timothy the moment he writes to Timothy. Verse 3. Say, I urge you, when I went to Macedonia, remain in Ephesus that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine. The first thing he tells Timothy in writing to him is what? To instruct by teaching. Do you understand me? He tells him to instruct by teaching. In chapter 4, look at chapter 4, verse 1, verse 6, sorry. It says, if you instruct the brethren in these things, you'll be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of good doctrine, which you have carefully followed. Did you see that? The word which you've carefully followed is the word that means which you are carefully following. It's continuous. Which you are carefully following. Hallelujah. Did you get that? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So, how would you put them via, how do you put them in remembrance? In what? How do you put them in remembrance? By teaching. Do you see that? By teaching. So, Timothy is not a, he's the disciple who is a pastor. And the pastor of pastors. Do you understand me? Because why do you know he's a pastor of pastors? Chapter 5 tells you the elders. Do you understand? The elders are other pastors. Do you understand that? So, Timothy is a pastor of pastors, yet he's a disciple, someone's disciple. Did you understand that? Do you understand that? So, Timothy will put them in remembrance by teaching. How will he teach the way to Paul has taught him from the scriptures? I want to really put them in remembrance of the teachings of Paul. Do you understand me? Concerning those things that are in verses 1 to verses 5. Did you get that? Hallelujah. How Paul thought from the scriptures. So he will teach in the same way. Hallelujah. In chapter 2 Timothy 2. In 2 Timothy 2 verse 2. I said this earlier on, but I'll say it again. Say the things which you've learned from me among many witnesses. He said the same commit to faithful men. Who will be able to teach others also? Watch the trend. Watch the trend. The trend is Timothy being a disciple will commit the word. Meaning, he said, the teacher will learn from him, he said, commit to faithful men. Faithful men are those, listen, who are faithful men? Faithful men are those who have learned and they have stayed in discipleship. Do you understand me? Those are men you can commit. You can commit. You cannot call Philetus and Hermanos faithful men because they perversed the gospel. Do you understand me? They strayed. So they are not faithful men. So faithful men are determined over time in discipleship. Do you understand that? Hallelujah. Did you get that? Glory to God. So in discipleship, we just saw the trend. Timothy is to commit the word to faithful men. Hallelujah. He's to commit the word to his disciples. His disciples too will raise other disciples who will teach. So how will Timothy commit? The same way the disciples will commit by what teaching. The same way it was communicated to Timothy. So did you see? The local church is a place of teaching. It's a place where disciples are raised. Is it if this is what Paul will now call, you know, I'm being discipled, I'm discipling you, you're discipling someone, the other person is discipling. Now, Paul will now call it in Ephesians 5. I mean, Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4 verse 16. That's what Paul will now call the work of ministry in Ephesians 4 verse 16. Say, every joint supplies according to the effective working. Everyone supplies. Do you understand? Everybody supplies, everybody does his own part. Hallelujah. Do you understand me? Discipling men. He said it costed what? It costed edification.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Are we together?
So it causes edification. Let's move ahead one bit. So let's just look at something. What would they be found doing? They'll be found teaching, right? What would they be teaching? What Paul taught Timothy, right? So is it just like they're teaching Paul's doctrine down? Do you understand that? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we saw the way paratitenum, which means to give it the way it is. It was given to you. See it. Hallelujah. So in a local church, you must be under discipleship. In the local church, you must be under discipleship. Everybody here, you must be under discipleship. And must be accountable. You must be under discipleship. Take that. You must be under discipleship. You must be accountable. And also, you must have those you are responsible for. You must have those you are discipling. Those you call your disciples. Hallelujah. I know something. I mean, spiritual growth is seen in discipling them. And disciples are trained via teaching. Disciples are trained via teaching. Let's see how Paul will prove that. In Acts of Apostles chapter 19. Let's see a trend of discipleship. Acts of Apostles chapter 19. Acts 19, verse 1 to 8. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper region, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Spirit when you believed?" And they said to him, "We have not much heard whether there is any Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Into what were you baptized?" So they said, "Into John's baptism." Then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they must believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus." So when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord. And when Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. These men were about 12 in all, take note of that. And he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. Take note, Paul met 12, right? Right? And he ministered to them. Glory to God. Now we need to follow something closely and sharp. Paul began to teach them, right? In chapter 20, these people have come to become elders. Verse 17. These 12. Look at verse 17. And from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus, and they called for the elder. And called for the elders of the church. Who were the elders now at Ephesus? When did he start it? The 12. Do you understand me? Those became the elders, right? Of the church. Meaning, those people were taught the word to the point that they. Now, for you to be elders, what does it mean? They are responsible for others. Hope you know that. 1 Timothy 5:17. Then the elders who rule, are the ones who teach you the word. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? Okay, let's go ahead. Verses 20. Let's see how Paul. Now Paul is telling the elders. Let's see how Paul discipled them. Verse 20. Verse 20. "Now I kept nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed to you and taught you publicly and from house to house." He's telling the 12 how he taught them. He taught them publicly and from house to house. Discipleship. Follow up. Breaking. Huh? Get to be there. Huh? What? From house to house. Hallelujah. Verse 21, testifying to Jews and also to Greek, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. See, now I go bound. Okay, hallelujah. Now, he taught them what? Publicly. And what? How did he teach them now? Publicly and from house to house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He taught them publicly and from house to house. That tells you discipleship is deliberate. We don't grow disciples in the air. Discipleship is what? Deliberate. What do you deliberate about it? Deliberate in the sense that, you see, you don't do discipleship from comfort. Hallelujah. I was speaking to pastors yesterday. I said, you cannot serve God in comfort. Huh? How now? Yeah, you be like, let me just. You understand me? You don't do that. You don't serve the Lord like that. It's deliberate. What you're going to teach your disciples next week as you go out for follow, you have it ready this week. You understand? You are deliberate about it. You're deliberate about what you want to teach them. You're not going to say anything that comes to my spirit, I will talk. No! No! You are looking for the leading of the spirit. The leading of the spirit is in the word. So learn it. I'm going to teach. The written word is the leading of the spirit. You understand? So you are deliberate about it. You have your lesson notes. You understand me? Somebody has read your lesson notes for your disciples next week, next month. How to teach for disciples. You understand? This is how disciples, these guys, these brethren, rather, these guys. You understand me? Very important. It's deliberate. Paul went from house to house publicly. Publicly will not mean you just go and say, yes, now let me teach. You know, hallelujah. He has something to do. You have to create time. They say, well, you have time to pray. Time, you understand? You must have time to follow up. To create the time. Hallelujah. Paul went from house to house. Publicly, house to house. Publicly will mean together. They will have assembly. Hallelujah. We'll see how that assembly is being done. Verse 31. Let's look at verse 28. Verse 28 will tell us why he's telling them this. Look at verse 28. He said, take heed to your what? To yourselves and to your flock. Do you understand me? So what Paul is teaching them, is teaching them to what he, how he has taught them they should do the same. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. Do you understand me? Look at verse 31. Say, therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. Meaning, Paul taught them for a space of 3 years. Do you understand me? He was teaching them day and night. In fact, history has it that Paul will teach them in the morning before they go to work. And when they are back from work in the night, Paul, they say, have Paul to teach them. So Paul was teaching them morning and night, morning and night, morning and night, for 3 years. Why will he be teaching them the same thing? Remembrance, the same thing. You are hearing Matthew 28, 18 to 20 every week. Yes, the same thing. The moment you begin to say, is it, or you talk like one of my funny friends, then the school, I say, I'm having spiritual passion. That's rebellion. Is it the same thing I'll be hearing? Matthew 24, 28. Matthew 24, 25. All fools. All fools. 2 Timothy 3, 16. Every day. Yes. Paul did it for how long? 3 years. The same thing was teaching them the scriptures, teaching them Christ. Teaching them, he's only you night and day. Teaching them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The moment you begin to want something else, you have itching ears. The moment you begin to want something new, destiny destroyers. Hey, teach us like that. You have itching ears. You see, every day we'll be eating, Paul to Timothy. Paul. Anything, Paul. Moses, Paul. Okay. If you don't want to hear Paul, your ears on the issue. Even you that you are preaching, the way you want to now bring in something spicy, you have itching mouth or itching ear. You want, Pastor Shaggy will say, you want to become a first teacher, watch it. Say that yesterday. to become a prostitute. You are tilting towards that direction.
Hallelujah.
So you stay with the message. You see, as a disciple and one who disciple men, let me let you know. You see, the teaching of the scriptures, whether you know that, is not exciting. It is boring. You know why it's boring? Listen, because you keep teaching the same thing over and over again. So you need to, you know, it's nothing. That is why discipleship is known over time. It's known over time. It's not known after 1 month. Over time, I need 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. You're a disciple, yes. You may begin to have itchy ears, want to know, hear something else. That you are rebelling. Do you understand? So, it's boring because you're going to keep hearing Luke 24, 25 for the rest 80 years, for the rest 100 years it means. Do you understand? So, after a few months, you say, bro, sis, are you praying? You must want to hear the same thing over and over again. You must make sure you want to hear the same thing over and over again. You must make sure you want to keep preaching the same thing over and over again. Do you understand me? The same thing. Don't change it. To change it is to rebel. Did you get that? It is because people don't want to stick with the truth. That's why you see people adding salt and Fanta into the gospel. You just keep seeing adding. Because what the scripture is yesterday will not change today. The scripture is the same. Hallelujah. The writer of Hebrews will put it like he said, Christ Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's referring to the explanation of the scriptures. Is Christ all true? It's not for miracle. No, is Christ all true? It's the explanation of the scriptures. All true. So Christ, you talk to Moses Christ. You talk to Exodus Christ. You talk to Christ. Would you teach financial freedom? Go and learn it in seminar. Go and learn it in GWT. Go and learn it there. Not in the church. The church is of believers. And what is common to us all is Christ. So it's Christ you must teach. It's Christ you will hear. The moment you want to hear how to make it in life, go to business school, Lagos Business School, just 4.5 million. Go there. Do you understand that? This is the church. Hallelujah. Are you blessed? Okay. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So, discipleship is deliberate, as I said. You give your time. You give your time to it. You give your time to it. You give your time to it. You pray, you give your time to it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You give your time to it. I wrote something here. There is no graduation in discipleship. So I've graduated. He run you. You are here. You are a disciple. There's no graduation. To want to graduate is to be in Protestant church. You don't know? Yes, now. You want to graduate. You know what I mean by Protestant church? Listen to me. It's not Baptist here. I mean Protestant church. I mean protest, rebel. Rebel. Before you be laughing. Rebel. You want to rebel. To graduate. When will the preaching class ever finish? So that I will become. Jonathan, what would I graduate? Okay. Another funny one. I know I've done it before. Please, if I ever give you anything, I think you bring it. Any one I'm giving you.
S-O-A-O-Q-S-O-A-O. I'm
calling it back. There's no condition.
I will refund the partner. I will refund the bring it. You do not pay any money for permission.
You paid now for the certificate.
No. I'm going to meet you.
I'm going to
meet
you. Hallelujah. Do you understand? No, seriously. Because there's no graduation. You know, in error we did that. I admit, it's in error. There's no graduation. Foundation school, always in foundation, ever always remain is Christ's little taught. Stay there. Do you understand? We keep learning. When did you see Jesus give certificate? Somebody said, the disciples are called. You know, they graduated from disciples to apostles. Keep quiet. No sabim book. No scripture. You know scripture, you know they do not graduate. It's just they are called apostles because of what they call in Matthew 10. The apostle is a sent one, one who is sent. They were sent out by Christ when? When? Matthew 10. Luke 10. He was sent out. So based on that call, based on that sending out to preach the gospel, they were called apostles. Hallelujah. It was not a graduation process. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? Glory to God. Paul, based on his call, based on Acts of Apostles chapter 13, based on that call to preach, based on that call, Paul is called an apostle. Based on that, he was sent. Do you understand? So, apostle is not a rank. Did you understand that? Aha. See, I'm an apostle. I saw one. I see I have the picture on my phone. I'm an apostle in the marketplace. Only marketplace. It's my new market. So, an apostle. Something's called. You're with God. Ah! You know my place in the body of Christ. My place. Great. So, discipleship, there's no graduation. You are always learning. We are all always learning. Do you understand? Always learning. I was telling a friend who I met in a believer's meeting, and we got talking, and I told the person, I'm a disciple of Pastor Shelly. He is too, he still said he was. So, but I spoke to him, and I'm telling him, I'm a disciple forever. A disciple forever. And you're like, but what if I say, there's nobody here forever. He said to me. I'm not going to say it anywhere. And you know, he's not just in saying it, he's in doing it. Keep hearing it open. For you to hear, listen, let me now do another short one. For you to hear, open to Luke 24:25, and people are open. You are now quoting into your mouth. You are in rebellion. Open is open. You understand? Even if it's Matthew 28:18, all authority, open it. Read it. It's not that issue. It's God's plan for the local church. Discipleship. It's God's plan for redemption. God's plan of discipling them. The church is a place of discipling them. It is a place where the scriptures are taught. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, we've looked at these things concerning discipleship. Much more even in our, even to the point that a disciple must submit in all things. You understand? Even to what the kind of relationship, kind of friends we came. I just remember something in 3 John. Paul, I'm still writing an epistle. I'm still writing it the same way some people have been writing. So sometimes I don't even call Moses, I'll call Paul. Hallelujah. No, John wrote to Gaius. And he warns Gaius concerning somebody he must not relate to. It's as important as that. You understand? It's as important as that. In 3 John, he tells him, do not relate to this one. Gaius obviously is a disciple. Do you understand? He's a disciple. Hallelujah. A good disciple. This is where I'm going to draw. This is where I'm going to say. A good disciple is a good listener. Must be very attentive in listening. A good disciple must be attentive in listening. Listening. You saw the way Peter could teach even after Jesus. The same way Jesus called them, he was a good listener. Good disciple must be given to listening. Listening well. Listening well. Very important. And in listening well, you have to jot well. I learned something from Pastor Sherry. I am going to say it. He said something that even if he's in a meeting where he has taught what he's been taught, he is the one that taught it and you are not reteaching what he taught. He will carry his book. He will carry his pen and he will jot down the same way. Why? A good disciple of Christ is found always learning from the word. You understand? He's found always learning. So you must jot. You must jot and go over your notes again. Hallelujah. Have you been blessed?
Glory to God.